This is Nursing in America. Each week, we speak with incredible Filipino nurses who have taken the leap to start a new life in the United States. If you're thinking about doing the same, then this is the place you'll find all the insider knowledge and inspirational success stories to realize your own American dream.
So let's get started. I want to welcome Brian and Marvin today. They are our guests. And then we also have Jean joining us. And Jean is going to be chiming in and joining the conversation. So let's get started. So many of you spend so many months, years, hours worrying about your getting to America, worrying about the NCLEX, the IELTS, the immigration, all the delays that have happened, and you have to have a lot of patience. It can be very frustrating, very make you feel very despondent, but very few Leforans actually think or worry about what happens when you get to America. And as Brian and Marvin and Jean will tell you, there are a lot of wonderful things that will happen when you get here, but there also are some challenges. So the purpose of the Lefora Talk Show is to help you, is to serve you, so that you can hear from other Leforans that have gone through this experience and you can get and you can be prepared. I think especially right now at this time of COVID-19, a lot of people are feeling very exhausted, both emotionally and physically exhausted. There's a lot of challenges. And the Lefora Talk Show is intended to spread some light and to uplift you and to give you knowledge, because knowledge is power. I'm a big follower of Oprah, and Oprah says, surround yourself with people who lift you up. So today, Marvin, Brian, and Jean are going to be lifting you up. Okay.
Hopefully we can.
Sorry? What do you say,
Hopefully
Jean?
Hopefully we can.
Yes. So let's get started. Marvin and Brian are going to be sharing their stories today. I love your background, Marvin.
Yeah, it's like the Philippines, like with the,
with the background and the red
one. So it represents the flag. So I'm still a Filipino wherever I go. So I'm so
absolutely,
I'm very proud of
and I can so relate. I came to America on the 4th of July. I always thought it was very significant on Independence Day. I came to America, and I came from South Africa, and I always have South African heart, so I can relate. So let's start with the first question. Marvin and Brian, maybe Marvin, you can start us off and tell us about your journey. Tell us about the journey of coming to the U.S., what that was like for you, how long it took you, what your experience was like until you got to the U.S.
Okay. So hi to all the foreign family. Wherever you are in the world, hi, marhaba to all those Middle East nurses. Mayang gabi, magandang umaga. So again, my name is Marvin. So I was born and raised in Zamboanga City. So I've been a nurse for like 15 years, and my expertise includes emergency, trauma, and also I'm a midwife in the Philippines. I also did some clinical instructor there. I passed my local boards 2005, the year after I passed my NCLEX. So with my agency, I was promised that I'll be in America within that year, because like visas were just given out like hotcakes. But then the unfortunate happened, retrogression. So we were like doom. And then all we thought that retrogression would be lifted the following year, but not. And then The next year, I was frustrated, and it went up to 8 long years. So with that 8 long years, I did some odd jobs. So I was doing clinical instructor with no clinical experience. So having that, I did some volunteer work after my clinical instructor job, and then I did some contractual jobs, but I felt the pressure of not providing enough to my family. So I felt the need, like, yeah, I know retrogression will be longer. So I was praying that one day it will be lifted, but it pushed me to go to the Middle East. So I worked in the Middle East for 2 years, and I used that experience to adapt myself with the U.S. I was very fortunate about my Middle East experience because, like, we were dealing with American-trained doctors. Most of them are from New York. Most of them are from California. And then they're very inspiring. So with those 8 long years, I know it's very, very long. 2014, when I received my visa, it was a glorifying moment. It was like, oh my God, my dreams starts to unfold. So I was interviewed in Abu Dhabi. I was well prepared, went home, I resigned, went home and spent Christmas. And I was like very high and I was expecting a lot because like my American dream starts to unfold. And then right now I'm here. So I told myself that I was very, very thankful that I was able to use my time well, spending time with my family. But to be honest with you, those 8 long years of retrogression, several retrogression, was very, very frustrating. I almost gave up. And then I told myself, let me go to UK, let me go to Europe, let me go to, or stay in the Middle East. But again, I was like focusing myself to fulfill my American dream. So that was my journey.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that, Marvin. I think that's a story that many Laforans can relate to.
Yes.
Because it's taken such a long time. There have been so many obstacles and barriers, and you probably just never, ever thought you would get here.
Yes, exactly. So I never thought, but I was very prayerful. I was responsive to my agency. I keep asking questions, and then I was trying to do some timelines. I enjoyed the process, although it takes very, very long time. But as what my parents would said, good things will happen for those who wait. So I was patiently waiting, and here I am enjoying the perks of it.
Okay. Patience is the answer. Brian, what about you? Can you share your story with everybody?
I think my story is kind of like the same with Sir Marvin here, because you graduated in 2005, I graduated in 2006. But the thing is that with my case, I think it's worse, because in 2006, I think most of you guys will remember, we had the leakage issue back then. So I have to take the local board exams twice. So on the same year, I took the board exam in June, passed it in August, then have to retake it on October. Then I have to take the NCLEX on December. So that 2006 was one hell of a ride for all of us. And then 2007, 2008, I think the 9/11 thing happened, so the retrogression happened. So it's kind of like I waited from 2006 being a USRN, and then my visa was granted 2019.
Wow, that was way, way too long.
Because I just got here in the States last year. So while waiting for those moments, just like Sir Marvin, I did some jobs as well. So I went into call center. I went to teach nursing without experience as well, because we got no choice. So have to make ends meet, because there were so many nursing graduates, because most of the nursing graduates back then, the purpose of which is to go to the state. Then again, the door closed. So we got backlogged. So there were so many supplies, but not much demand. And I don't want to do into volunteer job and so on and so forth. So just like what Sir Marvin did, I did clinical instructorship. I did review lecture without without experience as well. And then in 2015, UK opened, UK and Ireland opened. So what I remember is that I applied for Ireland in 2015, August, and I was able to get there in November. So August and October, just 4 months, 4 months processing to UK. It was really, really fast.
That was great.
And that was by the time I was waiting, because I thought that going here in the States would not be possible for me anymore. So I did work in Ireland for, I think, roughly less than 3 years. Now, in 2019, my agency, surprisingly, contacted me again through email, because, of course, my phone number would be different now. I was in Ireland. So she contacted me through email and said, Brian, your papers are now moving forward. So imagine, that was from 2006 to 2019. I was really surprised that they're still in touch with me. So so I went forward, well, half-heartedly, I went forward, because I was really happy in Ireland that time. I thought I won't go to US, but then again, I don't want to tell myself regretfully, saying, what if I did go to the US, and what if life would be different there? So I just jumped ship, because I already have a life in Ireland, but I have to make a decision, because I'm already there. My papers are already there. I just have to say yes, sign some papers, pay some fees, and on. So I did. So here I am, 2019 to 2020. It was hard. Wow. It was difficult. It was tough. I started out without experience. But then again, I think most of the people back home are in my situation. Until now, they don't have some experiences. And I was asking in the fora, what happened to those people who don't have experience, but they graduated, they are licensed, and but they don't have experience. Is it possible for them to get here? And I was gathering some information, and yes, they could. They could go here. They could work here without experience. Of course, they have to pull a lot of strings. They have to be more resourceful than anyone else. But hey, that's how it is. I mean, you know, you want a good life, you have to work.
I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. If you know a friend or colleague who would benefit from listening to this conversation, please let them know about the show. We want to help as many nurses as we can turn their dreams into a reality. If you're thinking about making the step to living and working as a nurse in the USA, we can help you. Head over to kineticsusa.com to find out more. That's kineticsusa.com.
So both of you have had that experience of working in the Philippines, working in other countries, different countries, but other countries outside of the Philippines, and then coming to the US. What would you say is the biggest difference from a clinical perspective working in the US as opposed to Brian maybe working in Ireland, or Marvin in, where were you, in the UAE or Saudi? Did you say the UAE or Saudi?
United Arab Emirates.
Yeah. So what would you say were the biggest differences from a clinical perspective?
Okay. So based from my experience in United Arab Emirates, so actually the technology and the processes that we have there is almost the same in a lot of degrees here in the U.S. So we follow the same STEMI protocol. We followed the same code stroke protocol. We have the technologies like the ISTAT. We're using it there. And then when I came here to the U.S., I've been using it, Alaris bombs and all that. Their technologies are at par. And then okay. I'm very much thankful and grateful for the experience because I am exposed to different doctors coming from different nationalities. So like American doctors, British doctors, South African doctors, Korean nurses, a lot. There were a lot of expats working in the medical field. So I was exposed to them. I was able to learn their culture. And now aside from that, some differences, but this may not be clinical. So that includes culture and the language. So I can still remember when I was in Texas. So I was actually working in Texas for 4 years. I was assigned in Northeast Texas. Hi to the to people in Tyler. So the difference is about the culture is that especially the Southern hospitality, especially some words, like, for example, the brain. So actually, the brain is like a paper where the nurses will write their endorsement and all that. So one time, the preceptor was asking, hey, where's your brain? Get it. So we thought that it was an insult, but actually it was not. So yeah, those are one of the differences. The second one is most of the things here in the U.S. is outcome-driven. So it's more on like patient's outcome improves or patient really survives compared to when we work in the Philippines because there's less resources, and also when in the Middle East, if they stop, that's it, done, kalas. And then lastly, here, nurses are empowered. They are great advocates. So I never expected this type of spirit that will bestow once you become an American nurse. Because in the Philippines and in the Middle East, we work under the supervision of the doctors and all that. Here, it's a different thing. We are working together with them. Nurses are empowered, nurses are an advocate. We can actually speak to the doctor. We speak about the patient's rights. So those are the things that I think the difference are, but the most important thing is that nurses here in the US are empowered, advocated, respected, particularly respected in a lot of ways. I still can remember when I was in the Philippines, I was a contractual employee, no work, no pay, no PTO, no nothing like that. If we have holidays, we don't have any work, then you won't earn anything. But here, you enjoy these benefits. I mean, nurses here are truly respected and empowered. So that's the best thing about being here.
Okay. Wow. Well, that really tells a lot, because it's not just the clinical difference, but just the cultural difference, which can be a big adjustment, especially for a lot of Filipinos when they come in the beginning, because a lot of Filipinos typically tend to be more shy.
Yeah. Right? So, to be honest with you, I have to share one funny story. During my first week in Texas, so every time that I talk to the patient, and before I leave the room, I always tell them like, hey, can I get you anything? Is there anything that I can do for you before I leave the room? And the patient said, oh, sir, can you get me Dr. Pepper? So we don't have Dr. Peppers in the Philippines and in the Middle East. So I went to the secretary's desk. I was browsing all the directory looking for Pepper. Is it the first name or the last name? So I was there for about 10 minutes. And then the secretary was asking, hey, Marvin, what are you looking? And then he said, oh, I'm looking for Dr. Pepper. I said, like, seriously? I said, like, yeah, I was looking for Dr. Pepper. Do we have a doctor named Dr. Pepper? I said, like, go to the fridge. Oh, is she there? I said, like, oh, no. I said, Marvin, just go there and look. And then when I opened the fridge, God damn, I was dumbfounded. And it was like shocking. It was Dr. Pepper drink. I said, like, oh, my God. And then I... And then everyone was laughing. So every time that I see Dr. Pepper right now, it reminds me about that incident. It always makes me smile that at least I was so innocent about that, thinking that I was doing it right. But I was able to integrate to the community with that funny story.
That is such a funny story. Oh, my God. Gene, do you have any funny stories like that where you misunderstood what somebody said when they first arrived here?
I don't think I remember anything like that. I don't know experience like that.
Brian, do you have any funny stories like that? The Dr. Pepper one, that's a good one.
Well, no, not that one, but that one is good, yeah. But the thing is that I don't know Dr. Pepper before I got in here as well. And a lot of people are asking for that. I think it's more famous than Coca-Cola here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Texas, yes, it is.
Well, just to share, the one funny thing is, you know, as I said, I come from South Africa, and the weirdest thing with Dr. Pepper, I don't know why, my husband, every time he would go to a restaurant and he would order a Diet Coke, they would say, oh, a Dr. Pepper. And I'm like, it didn't even sound anything like Dr. Pepper. But to the American ear, somehow with a South African accent, they thought he was saying Dr. Pepper. So... sometimes we all have our Dr. Pepper stories, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's more famous here because the company is, or I don't know if that's true. Yeah. The company's originated here.
Yeah, so they're more.
Yes.
And Texans are very, a very strong advocate of their brands. They're very like nationalistic with their own state, if you could put it that way. It's like they love their state so much. And they say that they could stand alone as their own country, which I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you located, Brian?
Sorry?
Where are you located, Brian, right now? It's so windy in your area.
I'm here in the West.
Which part? Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's like a garden behind you, Brian.
Are you in Odessa?
Here by Odessa. But I'm in the rural area.
I'm in Tyler, which is like opposite to you guys. I was in Tyler. I was in Tyler.
One of my co-nurses is here, work in Tyler, so I know the place. I haven't been there, but she's been telling me stories about that.
Yeah.
So I've never been to Tyler. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of Filipinos there.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Brian, tell us about the difference from a clinical perspective that you experienced from in Philippines as opposed to Ireland, as opposed to the U.S.
I think the clinical and the cultural thing goes hand in hand because I agree with what Sir Marvin said, that nurses outside the Philippines are more empowered. Because when I was in Ireland, I remember I was calling my chief nurse, her name is Siobhan, so I was calling her Ma'am Siobhan, and then she looked at me like livid look because she thought I was insulting her. Because outside the Philippines, ma'am and sir would mean that you're referring to elderly. Like in the Philippines, ma'am and sir is kind of like visual thing. So outside the Philippines, calling someone ma'am and sir would be referring to the elderly. So they would prefer to be called by their first names. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, even for the doctors, they don't want to be referred. When I was in Ireland, they don't want to be referred as, let's say, Dr. Smith or Dr. whatever. They want to be referred in their first name. So you're working with them as equals and they're not your superiors. And that's how I felt here in the States as well. Because just like what Marvin said, you're more empowered. And with that empowerment, just like what Spider-Man's stepdad said, it comes with more responsibility. Because back in the Philippines, since you have a lot of superiors, you tend to move with how your superior would tell you to move. Like, do this and do that. You have your task. Here in the States, and maybe outside the Philippines, you're more of goal-oriented, which means that you really have to employ your nursing care plan. You assess, you diagnose, you plan, and then you evaluate. Because all of those are part of handover, especially if you're working in critical care and if you're taking care of your patients for a long time. They won't just, when they're listening to you, they would want to listen the story from top to bottom, and that's every time. So here you're more empowered with the sense that you are thinking separately from the doctor because you're not just taking care of them, making their lives better. You're actually helping them to go back to their pre-illness state or to go back to where they were before they were hospitalized. And that's, I guess, part of being empowered because you're thinking more here. That's why there's a lot of continuing education mandated here rather than when I was back home. Because when I was back home, I was working in one of the prestigious private hospitals in Makati. We don't have that much continuing education here. We have it every single month. It's mandatory. And it's helping us speak up to the doctors. Because when the doctor asks you some things, you could actually answer back. And that builds up their trust in you that, hey, I could actually let my patients with this nurse and what he actually says make sense. And there will be moments wherein the doctors don't have to eyeball their patients because they rely on what you said, because you have already built up your credibility that whatever you said, that you could act as their eyes and ears. You know, building that up, being empowered here takes a lot of courage. And of course, you have to study. Like, it's an endless journey. So a lot of people back home, they were asking, is NCLEX hard? Is IELTS hard? When you get here, NCLEX and IELTS will just be the first examination you're going to take. When you get here, there will be endless examination until you retire, I suppose. So you have to make sure that you are used to taking examinations. You have to make sure that you set your mind to learn a long deal. And then in here, we have a lot of opportunities. Because back home in the Philippines, you only have Master of Arts in Nursing. Here, you have a lot of path goals. Like right now, I'm taking Nursing Informatics right now because of what the things are going on. I'm looking for a thing that could make me work at home and not just work there in the hospital. So you see, there are a lot of career pathways available for us nurses here in comparison with what we have back home. So here, you have a lot of opportunities.
And Jean, I'm sure you would agree with that, right? There's just so many more opportunities here that you can experience in the U.S. than you can really anywhere in the world.
Yes, I firmly agree. If you are working, especially if you are working in a critical care area in ICU, you need to ready yourself that you have to learn a lot because every day the doctors in the ICU trusted you and they rely on you. You have to know your patients also, their conditions from head to toe every day. So whatever your assessment is, they will also rely on you and they will ask you everything.
Yeah. And that really takes time to be able to get used to this different way of doing things. Mm-hmm. Right.
So and you what will would come you to that point. I'm sorry. And then you will come to that point when the doctor gives out orders and because you know your patients, even the height and weight, and they're doing their computations in their head and you're doing computations inside your head, you're going to say, wait, that doesn't sound right. And you could actually call them and say, John, can you please reconsider that order? Why? I just would want you to reconsider that because the height and the weight is like this. And then they would do the recommendation. Oh, you know what, Brian? Yeah, that makes sense. So you know, you could call each other out respectfully because with my experience in my country, when you try to call the residents, when you try to call their attention,
Marvin's laughing.
You know what, Dr. So-and-so, I think there's something wrong. Wow, what's wrong with that? I mean, they get angry with you if they get called up. I mean, you know, you're not compete because back home, this is my own experience, okay? Back home, it's like it's a competition. No, when you're here, it's not a competition. Your focus is your patient. So whatever is good for the patient, that is the paramount of everything that you're doing here. So if someone makes a mistake, you watch each other's backs and say, wait a minute, I think there's something that needs to be reconsidered. And they listen.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But for you to have that credibility that people will listen to you, you need to uplift yourself as well.
Yes.
So when you get here, you need to really study, read, and be empowered. So, you know, just building up your credibility, it takes time.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Nursing in America. Part 2 will be available next week, so make sure you come back to join us then. If you enjoyed the episode, please help us by hitting the follow button on your podcast player and leaving us a review. If you're thinking about making the step to living and working as a nurse in the USA, we can help you. Head over to kinetics.usa.com to find out more. That's kineticsusa.com.